Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Se prirati kacharya asti tarasati se simat irani swami swami gaya se si bhakt and swami shila prabhupada ki shila prabhupada chanta bhakti simushan ki hari nam sankirtan yagya ki gaur pranandi Hare Krishna. Welcome to the Sankirtan meeting on Book Distribution here at Sri Sri Radha London Ishwar's ISKCON Temple. Thank you all for coming. We're having time till 2 o'clock. We're going to do a few things. There's going to be some presentation, some videos, a few skits, some workshop, and questions and answers. Hope we can use the time wisely. There will also be a break in the middle. So, if you're looking for that, it's going to happen. I don't know yet when, but it's going to happen. So, in the beginning, we like to see a short video from Srila Prabhupada. Namely, I have to translate the six Goswamis. Distribution is the title of today's seminar. You know what a law is? A law is something which is firm. It is very much a stricture, and they're ironclad. So they have been given by Vaisheshika Prabhu from ISV, ISKCON of Silicon Valley. And the first of these laws is, number one, you must practice good sadhana, serious, strict, and sincere. Can you go forward? We're treating the Avyakta Marg. You must practice it diligently to realize it. You will not get the result you desire from anything done artificially. So a lot of times when devotees are dealing with book distribution, they immediately want to jump to the techniques. Okay, what's your lines? What do you tell the people? And I tell them, hey, slow down, relax, not that fast. It doesn't work like that. Did you chant Hare Krishna today? No, I want to go out and distribute books. I got to do this now for my guru. We have to distribute many books. The house is on fire, Prabhu. Huh? And I'm like, yeah, but save yourself first is the, is the first important rule. So did you chant Hare Krishna today? Did you finish your rounds? And I personally very rarely go out to distribute if I haven't finished my rounds, because I just feel like I'm not ready. I feel like I'm not there. I don't have the full potency, the full benefit, which I should have. So when we train devotees in book distribution, we always tell them, you chant your rounds, once you finish your rounds, you go out on book distribution. It's not that you chant a bit in the morning, and a bit while you're driving, and a bit in the afternoon, and a bit at night before you go to bed. So try to finish all your rounds in the morning. In fact, they asked Srila Prabhupada, how can we increase our book distribution scores? Prabhupada said that the most important thing is you sit down, you chant your 16 rounds, and you don't move and you don't get up till you finish your 16 rounds. And this will increase your book distribution tremendously. You don't have to believe me. Believe Prabhupada, or just try it out and see what it does to your sankirtan. It will be a whole different thing. So sadhana is not just something which we do because we're forced to do it. It's just a grudge, you know. It's like, oh, gotta get up and gotta chant rounds and let's go out and do the fun. Let's go and have the action. No. In fact, there comes a point in your life where you realize that the chanting of Hare Krishna, the chanting of your rounds, the reading of the books, and the distribution of the books, and the worshipping of the deity, it's not different. It's the same thing. It's just different aspects of the same activity. It's like a diamond. It's got different facets. And according to how the light is coming in, it shows different kind of colors, different types of pictures. But it's the same. So this process of Krishna consciousness is sweet wherever you taste it. You may taste more sweetness in one service or in another, but that is because of our conditioning. Because we have limited vision. Many times, initially, new devotees, they're kind of scared to go out on book distribution. They're afraid. They think, oh, you know, people are so heavy, and they will not be nice with me, and I will get some negative feeling, some bad experience. So it is our duty to make sure everybody has got a positive experience on sankirtan. And that is possible. But it requires training. Just like if I tell you, Mahaprabhu, you have to cook the Raj Bhoga offering today for Shishi Radha Londoneshwar. Are you up for it? Are you ready? Right now.
I'm surprised.
Are you a man or are you a mouse? Come on. Let's jump in the water, Prabhu. Come on. Pure devotional service. No holding back. Even though you're a nice devotee, you probably know how to cook something, you have the desire to serve, but because you're not properly prepared, you didn't plan it in such a way, you maybe have a few other things in your mind and on your agenda what you want to do, so it's just not sensible to jump it on him like that, to go and cook the Raj Bhoga offering. Now some devotees are ready to roll with the punches. Whatever happens, whatever comes, I'm up for it. But they're not too many. Huh? Most of us, we like to go at our own pace, at our own time, in our own style. So, when we're dealing with people, we have to understand that people are all different. And we can't just say, Prabhus, the good news, it's marathon. The bad news, we haven't planned or organized it. So the mess which comes after that, you deserve that havoc, that chaos, that confusion. Because you have to plan things properly. So in the same way, first things come first. The first thing is your sadhana. We chant Hare Krishna, we have a morning program, even when we are traveling sankirtan, when we're in a van, when we're not in the temple. Even when we're with our parents, when we're with relatives, when we're traveling. It's not that, hey, you know, now I'm in the airplane, or now I'm in the hotel, and now I have a different type of sadhana. Now it's like get the toys out and do the other stuff. No. Sadhana is there every day, no matter where we are. It might take a different dimension. Sometimes you're in India or in some festival and all you do or all you seem to be doing is sadhana. It's just hearing and chanting all day long, continuously. Now if you're in the wrong mentality, in the wrong mood, you're like, when does this ever stop? Why is he jumping around like that? You know? I mean, we got things to do here. But it's about the chanting, right? It's like you're doing deity worship. You can't be looking at the clock and thinking, when is this finally over? You know, I want to move on with all the things I got to do in my life. Because this is as good as it gets. It's happening right now, right here, in real time. Krishna is here. The holy name is here. Otherwise, you'll be out on book distribution, and you'll be thinking about the books you haven't read and the rounds you haven't chanted. Huh? Or you'll be in a holy place, and you'll be thinking about the money you could be making back home in London. And always you're somewhere else. Have you ever experienced that phenomena? Somehow you're not grounded. Your mind is hopping around, hovering in different activities. So sadhana makes you very grounded. You become very stable. You stand very strong on your own 2 feet. And that's required. Because when you're out there in Sankirtan, there will be all kinds of winds and drifts, and people want to push you. So you have to be very strong on your feet. Just like when you fight in martial arts. It's not about how big your muscles are, huh? And how strong your feet are. No, it's mainly about balance. It's about stability. What's your center? Where is your core? What are your core values? That is the essence of book distribution of Sankirtan. So we got to lay the foundation, otherwise our house will come tumbling down. So the foundation is strict, sincere, and serious sadhana on a daily basis. And that will give you the inspiration, the strength, the power, the courage to give continuously. Because people, they're taking so much. They're taking attention, they're taking energy, they take all you've got. They're going to eat you out there, alive. If you don't know how this works with the energy and where the energy comes from, if you think, I got the looks and the moves, I'm going to go out there on my own strength and make it happen, you're going to be eaten up in no time. And there's nothing left of you. What happened to him? There's only a few books left here. Where did he go? I don't know. He was out there on his own strength. Huh? But if you're out there and you roll with Krishna Shakti Vinanaya Pravartan, you tap into the mercy ocean of Lord Nityananda, and you get continuously charged up, you continuously get juiced up. No matter what happens, no matter who you're facing, no matter what encounters you have, you get more and more energetic. You get... Now is the disco part. Now comes the song and the dance. But... they probably rent this out for some Bollywood dance performance, you know? Sublease. So, any questions on sadhana? Is this clear? You all agree that sadhana is the foundation. There's no way around. There's no shortcut. There's no 1, 2, 3, you know, boom, boom. Yes?
Should we read before we go out as well? Is that as important as our rounds? Or is that something we can do when we come back? Or?
Depends on your personal preference and your schedule, but reading's got to happen. What I personally do, you have morning program, you chant your rounds, you have class, that is like reading and discussing the Shastra. Then I go out when I drive in the car, usually either I finish if I have 1 or 2 rounds, or I read to some class, hear some class, or I read a book or something. Or I take a small nap. When I go out there, I want to be at my best. I want to be at peak performance. And not like, you know, at 3:30 in the afternoon. But when I go out there, you know, in the morning, I want to be at my best. And that means I've read something. It might not be 2 hours, but something. It's like if you finish your rounds early, you can read an hour in the morning. It's wonderful. But not every place is like Mayapur, you know, where you go to bed when the sun sets. And you just wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're like, hey, you're fresh. Ah, another day, you know. And you go to the temple, you chant all your rounds before Mangal Arati, you whip out the book, you read for 2 hours, and then you're like, ah, let's go and do this. You know? There's different places have different logistics. So reading's got to happen. Whatever is practical, but it's got to happen. Because the mind always says, ah, yeah, we put it off later on. Ah, I read before I go to sleep. And you know how that reading goes before the sleep, you know. It's like, so we have to read mindfully. Otherwise, If we don't remember what we've read, then we're also not going to remember the next day on the street. Because this is like our ammunition. This is like what gives us the juice. And you can quote from the books. You can use whatever the points we're reading from Prabhupada's purports. Use them for preaching. And this way you see how they come across and how the people become influenced by this. Try it. Instead of saying all the things you're saying, just start quoting from the books. People like it. Something different for a change. So reading's got to happen. We can't do without it. It's just like, you know, you got to drink water and you got to breathe air. It's just part of... At one point, you just can't live without it. It's like a devotee when you go traveling and you can't take a shower. You just don't feel comfortable. It's okay, you know, for a few hours. But then, you know, something's got to happen. That means a shower. It's just, you know, you don't tolerate it. If just a day, 2 days, 3 days go by and you don't read, you just can't tolerate it. It's just against your nature. Other questions? To sadhana? For reading? Okay, number two. Get books. You can't distribute books that you don't have. The books are precious. Don't take them for granted. Now, this may seem like basic common sense, but how many times have you been out there and you met that nice person and you didn't have a book to give them? Has it ever happened to you? Huh? How did you feel?
It's very bad.
It's very bad. Right. You already started introducing the book, you know? And it's like sometimes I'm out there, like with the devotees, we were out on Oxford Street and yesterday in Stratford, and I didn't have a book, and I just started talking to people. And then I'm like, what am I doing here? Hey man, come here, give me a book, you know, I gotta give this person a book. Otherwise, it's like there's no continuation. So you must get books. No matter where you are, no matter who you are, you gotta have books. Like in the army, you gotta have a gun, and you gotta know how to use it. You might be a cook, you might be a driver, you might be a security guard, you might be a sniper, you might be an administrator. Everybody carries a gun, and everybody knows how to use a gun. So in the same way, when you're a preacher in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, you got to carry a Bhagavad Gita, and you got to know how to present it to people. Does this seem too radical to some of you? No? Well, then you talk to the temple. I mean, you stand outside on Soho Street and you start talking to the temple. No, you go there. You go there to your friend and you say, you know what? I really like this book, you know. And then he says, okay, fine, but, you know, I can't just order 5 of them. How many do you want for the next 6 months? And you say, well, 100, 200. He says, you know, okay, why don't you order 300? Would that be okay for you? And then you say, yeah, sure, but you know, you got to have a commitment. All right, I'm going to do these books. Not that I just want everything, but I'm not going to do them and they're just going to sit there. So, like that. Talk to the people. If you want something, ask. Say please and thank you. And you will get your way. You'll be surprised because the devotees are kind. Believe it or not. They are. But you have to ask. And sometimes they'll tell you, look, right now we've got so much overstock, we've got so many other books, you know, can we move this first? There's no space. So then you have to do something about that. But if you can only function with one particular book, then we've got a problem. So don't be like that. Of course, Gitas should always be there, but even if sometimes Gitas are not there, you should still be able to distribute. The books are precious, don't take it for granted. Like I went over to the book room the other day and I saw books on the floor, shoes right next to it. 50 people walking by, nobody thought it was a problem. For me, it was a big problem. I thought, we got a big problem here. It's like when you go into the altar room and you see all of a sudden some shoes, you know, and they're not silver shoes, you know, some other type of shoes. they're there, you know. Is it okay? No, it's not okay, right? You think we've got a problem here. And a problem is not so much the shoes. The problem is the mentality of all the people who walked by and who didn't see those shoes and didn't think something was wrong. So these books are not just paper and ink and plastic and, hey, they're clean, you know, our floor is clean, they can be there, they can be here. No. We have to treat people, we have to treat Krishna like a person. These books are not different from Krishna. If we are dealing with these books in a respectful manner and we hand them to people in a respectful way and we give it to them like this is, you know, this is like worth more than its weight in gold, then the people will feel like this is something precious. And we tell them, these books are priceless. Even if you would pay these books weight in gold, it would not be adequate. Not even in diamonds. So then, you impress upon them this value because you value the books yourself so much. Then you won't have the people who are, you know, taking it cheaply or for granted. But that means we have to have the same appreciation. So we don't eat on the books, we don't throw books around, we don't let books lie on the floor, we don't scribble in the books or rip out pages or underline or do different things like that. Unless it's your own personal copy and you use it as reference material or a study, then it's a different thing. Then you're like a student and you're using this for a particular project, or you're an editor, then you have to do that. But otherwise, no, by no means. So we have to treat the books with respect. Like, I remember the first marathon I did was in Austria in 85. And we had vans, these little Toyota or Nissan vans. They were just like these little, these small vans, you know, with the two or three seats in the front. And in the back, we just had it all filled with books. So what we used to do is we just used to fill up the whole van with books to about two-thirds. And then you put your sleeping bag there, and you put your suitcase there, and you put your kitchen utensils there, and you literally sleep on the books, eat on the books, you live on the books. In the evening, you just take the book and put it to your head and say, Krishna, I'm sorry, you know, I'm going to sleep on you. But what can you do, you know? There's no other chance, you know? It's kind of intimate, but I'm going to distribute you tomorrow. I'm really sorry, you know, but this is the way how it is. It's war, you know? And he respects it. Maybe some of the Prabhus can sit up front here so the ladies have place to sit on the chairs. Maybe our younger gentlemen there can move up, all the three of you. Yeah, there's places here in the front. So, don't take them for granted. You think, oh, we got so many books, not a problem, everything's fine. But I have been to so many countries where, you know, so ask them, okay, so where is your book room? And they say, book room? We don't have a book room. Like, I was in Sao Paulo, Brazil, maybe 15 years ago. And I asked them, so okay, now let's go on Sankirtan, where's the book room? They said, we have no book room. And I asked them, so where are your books? They said, we have no books. I said, oh, very nice, thanks for inviting me. Huh? I really like this. You know what I did? I went to their library. And I just took out the entire library. And I said, I'm going to punish you. We're just going to sell all your library. All your books are going to be gone. You have to order books. So we just took out whatever was there, you know. Just cleaned it out and went out and distributed the books. But you got to have a proper stock of books. And that means not just over there. That means also in your home, in your car, in your bag. Also, you can be a pujari. You can be a receptionist. You can be a cook. But you have some books there. And when that person comes and brings you that boga and that donation, you know, and says, please pray for me, give me Krishna's mercy, then you say, yes, here is the Lord's mercy for you. Huh? They're anyway giving money. They're anyway giving so much, right? And you give something in reciprocation. It's an exchange. People feel, wow, I got this from the pujari, from the Lord, directly off the altar. Wow. Huh? But you think in your minds, half of you are thinking, no, you can't do this, you know. You're not supposed to do this. Of course you are. Prabhupada was doing like that. Huh? Anybody he met, big people, small people, he said, introduce my books. And he asked people for a donation. Even politicians. They said, no, we want it for free. He said, no, you have to pay for it. Sometimes he would give, but he would mostly ask. So don't take the books for granted. Otherwise you might end up in a country, all of a sudden your company posts you, you know, in Siberia, they got books, but somewhere in China or somewhere, you know, in Mongolia, and they don't have books. And then you're crying, oh, I was in England, I had all the opportunities, there was millions of books, and I didn't do it. And now I'm out here in the desert, and, you know, so don't take it for granted. They started this movement without books. I remember when the devotees started distributing in France and in Germany, there was no books available. So they went up to the people and told them, look, we've got this book in English and we want to translate it into German. Can you give us £20 and your address? We will send it to you once we've printed it. They did that. And they raised the money to print the books. It's pretty unbelievable, right? If you go up to somebody and say, give me money now, I'll send you something later. Good luck, right? It's like these people, they say, yeah, I'll come right back, you know? I'm going just to do my thing and I'll be right back. And you say, yeah, I'll be waiting for you. Thank you. Any question? Yes.
Well, do you know, excuse me, cosmopolitan city, like there's so many people speak different languages. Should we have books in other languages also?
You can, I mean, Europe, everything is fairly easily accessible. Like in Zurich, they have, you know, German, French, Italian, Spanish, Portuguese. And you should have a few books in the major languages, you know. Croatian, I'm sorry. Polish, Russian, Chinese. But you can't have all of them. So you say, welcome to England. Why are you here? I'm a student. What are you learning? English. Well, wonderful. There you go. Boom. You know? You're here. You got to speak English, right? But if you happen to have some of them for your congregation or for people who come on a regular basis, that's nice.
So
you know?
Order them in centrally, a few different languages.
If possible, why not? Like you're having Gujarati, Hindi, Tamil, Bengali, Telugu, no? Major, 5 or 6, you have, no? You're trying to get. It's not too complicated. It's not rocket science. It's just logistics. But that means you got to do them, you got to distribute them. Other questions?
You mentioned, Prabhu, that you should always have a Bhagavad Gita. So I was wondering whether some devotees say that Shastra is more important to be distributed than, say, an SSR, which isn't technically Shastra, it's not Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. Would you put emphasis on either or?
No, Prabhupada's books, they're all powerful and they're all potent, but the Bhagavad Gita is our main book. But for some people, Gita is a little heavy and a little high, so you might want to give them an SSR or some introductory book, because not everybody's ready to go for the full thing. It's like in the restaurant, if you tell people only the big thali, you know, 8 quid or nothing. The guy says, I want the soup, I want a salad. No, 8 quid or nothing. I told you, man, get in line, get your money out, or get lost. How many customers will you have? You've got to be sensible. Some people want a snack, some people want a drink, some people want the full, you know, the whole banquet. Some people want all you can eat, and some people just want to have a look and a little noodle. So you have to be sensible with who you've got in front of you. You got to figure it out. What's their level of commitment? What's their appetite? How much can they take? Don't undersell and don't oversell. Mostly the devotees undersell. I see them taking out small books and going with a small book. Oh, just give 5 pence, you know. We're the good guys, you know. Oh no, I only have 2 pence. Okay, that's all right. Just give them. You know. And the guy's like loaded. So, just give people the Gita. And then if it's too much for them, you can always downgrade. But upgrade is difficult. Upgrading is hard. You can always go lower, but going higher, not that easy. So don't become too conditioned. You have to see the person. If you got a young kid, you know, and he just throws you some change, don't insist that he takes the Gita. See, what's this level of this person? Some people think Gita and Bhagavatam is too heavy, it's too high, it's too esoteric, people can't read it. Most of the devotees I know have come from reading Gita or Bhagavatam or something like that, because it just blew them away. It just totally changed their attitude and their minds and their, you know. But the other books are also very nice as introductory books, and usually what I do is I give two books together. So in this way you can make it easier for the person. But all these, you know, dichotomies, so-called dichotomies, are created in the mind.
So you give two books, the Bhagavad Gita and the small book?
Or yeah, or a Gita and an SSR. Even if I give a Gita and the person gives me 5 or 10 quid, I give him a small book as a gift, you know. I say, no, this is for all the nice people, you know. You just give him a little...
Cherry.
Huh?
Cherry on top.
A little cherry, yes, boom. Huh? And that really sits well with the person, because you went the extra mile. You made that little special endeavor just to give him that little extra something. That made him feel like $1,000,000. And that's what he's going to remember. Not that he paid you 10 or 10, 20 quid, but that you went the extra endeavor. So I always do like that. If people are very interested or generous, I ask them, look here, there's a small cookbook or this or that. I want you to have one of these for free as a gift, you know, or as an introduction. And then... they're very happy. If they got kids, you just give each kid a small book, you know, when they purchase the big book. So the kids got something to play with, you know. And you tell them so they don't take away your book, you know, so they can mess up the small books. But like that. Other questions? So is this clear? Get books. All right. Next. Now I want you to repeat this after me. The more you show, the more you sell.
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 Do you believe this? Why? You said yes. Why? Because it says so on the screen.
It's logical.
It's logical meaning?
If you don't show people what you have, then how can you sell more?
Yeah. There's a lot of other stuff there which we're going to read afterwards. But, you know, a business without a sign is a sign of no business. If you got no sign, it means you don't exist. If you don't show the books to people, if you just put the book behind you and you just talk with them like that, you know, and then all of a sudden after 20 minutes, you know, you start talking, taking out the book, you know, then what's that, you know? You have to show the books. Don't be scared. The best times are when you just hold stack of books. Everybody knows this is the program. You just got to roll with the program. Everybody gets these. It's very normal. So show the books. How many times have you stopped people and just talked to them and not put the book in their hand? Has it ever happened to you? Did they take the book at the end after your 40-minute talk about God and the world and how to save humanity from destruction? No, it didn't happen.
I had a question just about, because you said, I've never done that. I've never held books like in a stack when people come in, because...
there's many things you haven't done, but you can try.
Yeah, because I see them like scanning, you know, like this,
yeah.
You know, and they're dodging leaflets and charity and like this, you know, these people...
Yeah, and here comes a guy with 15 books, you know?
Like another one, and they're like, they're bending out of the way and everything like that. So I was trying to just like stop them, and then it becomes just like a surprise, you know, like trying to make a little relationship and then surprise.
You can try that. Try carry 10 books for
okay,
a change.
Try that.
You don't have to do like we did, 22 books, you know, from your knee to your nose, but you just see how it works. People are looking for these books. You know how many people I meet almost every day who say like, Bhagavad Gita, I've been looking for this book. Do you ever meet people like that?
Yeah.
Does it exist also here? People are like, hey, yoga. Yeah, I'm looking, I'm into this, I want this.
Yeah.
Every day you have 5 or 10 people who are just looking for this. But if you don't show it, then they're not going to see it, they're not going to notice it. Especially signs of self-realization. So many people will say, hey, I'm into this, I want this. because the title is catchy, you know, the title gets them. They tell their buddies, you know, come on, let's get self-realized, you know. And you can ask people, are you already self-realized? As a line, you know, use the title of the book as a line. People become attracted to the books when they see them because they're all attractive. So some or other make them visible. It doesn't mean you just stand there and you hold them out. You know, that's a different movement. It's not the Hare Krishnas. These are different religion. People who just hold literature and just stand there. Or just wave them at people. Or just show to them, you know. Or they try to stop people with their book. It doesn't work. We'll speak a little bit after about how to present the book properly. Next, any more questions about showing? Showing the books? So organize, build your sankirtan infrastructure. That means, infrastructure means the whole thing. Just like now, after this seminar, you've gotten some ideas, some pointers, some inspiration, hopefully, and you have some desire to distribute some books. So what's the next step? What are you going to do? You're just going to say, okay, whenever I will have a dream about book distribution, I will try it. Or I'm going to fall out of bed one day and say, Sankirtan Ki Jai, let's go and distribute books. Huh? No. You have to know. If I want to distribute books, I have to go to this guy, I have to go to this guy, or I have to go to this guy, or I have to go to this lady, and they can train me. They can help me how to distribute books. So you got to have a plan. So you got to write it down. So, okay, I want to distribute books in the marathon. But a marathon is a long haul. It's a long stretch. So if you don't want to get a cramp, you have to start training now. You got 2 months to get up to speed, to get into practice. Huh? To get a little bit flexible, you know? You have to do all the stretches and all the bends, you know, and do a little bit of running around the park like that. So you just take out a few books and you get into action. Then you'll not be out of shape when the marathon comes. So build your sankirtan infrastructure. It's funny because this slideshow is different from my paper, and I'm quite surprised, but it's okay. Invest in the right tools for the job. Tools means, you know, you need proper shoes. I know it sounds like common sense, but I've seen people walking around with amazing outfits, really spectacular type of dresses, which... you know, no need to mention names. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Just look respectable, you know. When you're dhoti kurta, then it should be nice. Not that it's all torn and holes and completely out of it. Or, you know, jeans with holes everywhere. Even if it's the latest fashion, you know, to have the more holes, the more expensive the jeans. But it's not the way how we want to go out and present ourselves in the public. So you got to look decent so people think you're a decent person. And... you got to have, I'm sorry, I'm not pointing at anybody here. You just got to have certain style, and you got to stick with that style. Not that part of you is Hare Krishna, and part of you is, you know, sporty, and part of you is, it becomes too weird, you know, rasa basa, if you mix it all together. Even you think it's a very great taste, but it's not. So get the necessary tools. You got to have some sort of bag to carry books or to carry your money. You got to have invitation cards. Train and inspire leaders. Delegate. So, like now, here, in the greater London area, you have, how many people in your congregation? You got 60 or 70,000 people for Jamastami, right? And about 20 or 15 here. So there's 100,000 potential people in our congregation here, in the greater London area. So you'll require at least... initially, at least 20 leaders in all the different areas who can take out the devotees, the local namhats, and train them how to do book distribution. Now, we got more than 20 people sitting right here. These 20 leaders could be you. But that means, first of all, we got to get trained up ourselves. Because if we have a hard time just, you know, holding ourselves up, what to speak of holding the book out, then it's going to be hard to train others. So we have to get trained up ourselves. Then we can show it to others. Whatever you have realized, you can teach it to others. Delegate means don't think everything has to go through me. Don't be a bottleneck. This Sankirtan movement is bigger than you and me and all of us combined. This is massive. This is huge. There's so many books. There's so many millions of people. How many millions of people in this, like, 1.5, 2 hours driving? 10 to 15 million people. We can't reach. We can't even say hello to all these people once in our lifetime. I mean, we can say hello, but I mean, like, personally, meet them. It's not possible. It's too many. So we need a lot of devotees to get involved in this. So we need to recruit and train new leaders. Set yourself goals. Now, a goal is not, okay, I'm going to do 50 books, otherwise this is not going to work. A goal can be, I want to carry a book with me whenever I go out my house. I will try to do one book every day. Reasonable goals, goals which can be achieved, not something, you know, which is just out of the blue. So everybody sets for themselves some goal which they feel comfortable with, which they feel, you know, is doable, is achievable. Now, I know some people say, I've got trouble with goals and I don't want to do this, but actually, we all have goals. Even if your goal is just to survive and to get through the day, that's a goal. So, set yourself goals and write it down. Make them visible. Use those, you know, post-it notes, put them on the TV, on the fridge, on your door, in your car. Have you done your Bhagavad Gita today? Huh? Have you? No? So, you gotta have your paper, you know? Plan for events. Like, have a monthly Sankirtan festival. Everybody loves festivals. I see tens of thousands of people show up for festivals. So make a Sankirtan festival where you have some kirtan, you go out together, you have a chanting party, you have a book table, you have a carpet, you have some prasadam, everybody goes out, chants the holy name, distributes a few books. It's clean fun for the whole family. Can you do this? Will people come out for this? If you say straight books, nothing else, few will come, right? If you say we're going to go on Harinam, we go chant. And there's going to be a table with a few books and some prasadam. Everybody will be ecstatic, like we saw yesterday in Stratford. It wasn't, you know, too complicated. It was very simple. We just brought two tables, carpet, a few instruments. People came from all different directions. And we just went out and we did our thing. And it was a blast, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was really massive. And we contacted a lot of people. And we created a lot of goodwill. A lot of people just stopped and stood there for an hour or two chanting with the devotees. So this can be organized everywhere by all the Namhattas, by all the different... Because we have to actually empower all the congregation, all our members, to do this Sankirtan themselves. Not that the few guys who live in the temple just run five times as fast. It doesn't work, even if you're tall and strong. You have to delegate. You have to empower other people. And don't be scared if they'll do better service than you. Don't be disappointed if they distribute more books than you do. They will, and we should be happy. We should be ecstatic. We should ask them, how can I serve you to do more? But as long as we think, no, it's all got to go through me, I'm the boss here, then it's bottleneck. It's going to stay that while till you flushed out. And then the next guy comes and thinks, I'm the man. Everybody has to go through me. And the whole system gets constipated. And then it needs to be flushed out. Not very pretty. So we have to let the energy flow. We have to let these books go. We have to empower people. Believe in their potential. See the potential in each and every individual. Everybody has got so much potential. It's incredible. I've seen you in action, and some of you have been the first day out yesterday to actually distribute hardcover books. And the potential is incredible. But we have to believe. in that potential and fan it and foster it. That gives faith to the devotees. So plan these events and conduct them on a regular basis, once a week, once a month. Execute your plans. Practice always better service. We're in the service industry. We want to have better service. That should be our motto. We should try to improve. Always give better service to people. That means after the event is over, you sit down and you ask, okay, what went well and what could be improved? And how are we going to improve it? Oh, we forgot the invitation cards. That was a real bummer, you know. Who didn't bring them? Oh, we didn't print them. Prasadam was so-so, you know, could have done better. Would have tried something different, like that. Didn't have that type of book, like that. Sometimes communications are not that strong. We just send out an email and an SMS, but people just didn't show up because people need to be talked to and actually, you know, you have to give their commitment. Yes, I'm going to come. And then you have to remind them again, till they actually become experienced. Take time for devotee appreciation. Never think that it's time wasted to appreciate the devotee's endeavor. Always thank all the devotees who engage in the service. Thank them for being out there, for taking their time. We thank the people for being out here and for taking the books. So we should thank the devotees also. Goes a long way. Show some appreciation. And then, last but not least, employ the Good News Action broadcast, GNAB, which means you spread the good news of book distribution throughout all your community and all your congregation. You post the stories, you post the experiences, both from the people who got the books and from the people who distributed the books. Wow, we went out there and, you know, I distributed my first Bhagavad Gita. It was amazing. You still remember the first book you distributed, don't you? How did it make you feel? Huh?
Great.
So you want everybody to get that experience, to get that feeling. So you have to spread this information to everybody. Any questions on this? Yes.
Would you define the second last point, like appreciating the devotees,
yes,
thanking them? Sometimes some devotees feel that they are part of the, they are part of it. They don't want to be thanked. This is like they're doing it because, just like we are doing it, with the same motivation they're doing it. So they feel that we don't need to thank us. We need to do it.
Yes, we need to do it. But we also need to thank them, and devotees have to learn to accept thanks. It's part of life. But you have to do it in such a way so they're not embarrassed, they don't feel uncomfortable. You have to do it in such a way that they feel good about it. You know what I mean? Some people don't like it if you chant their names and you say the score and you make a big thing out of it, you know, but you can always show some appreciation in a different way. Yes?
Management experts have seen that people, when you make people feel good about themselves, you get more from them.
Yeah.
So,
but making them feel good about themselves means different things for different people. Some people expect a pat on the back, other people expect some words of praise, other people expect a piece of cake, other people expect, you know, a framed picture. You have to kind of know. You have to kind of know. Other people expect a cut of the profit. You have to know what gets the person motivated, what gets their juices going. And then you just have to reciprocate with them in such a way that they feel actually encouraged and not put off or awkward or embarrassed, you know. Oh, such and such, Kijai, two small books, rah, 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 rah. And he's like, what? You know? So you have to know what the people like. Yes?
But isn't it about being sincere as well, Prabhupada? Like if you're a little boy and then you've got some Prabhupada disciple, like, thank you so much for coming today, Prabhupada. He's like, I've been doing this before you was born. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
If your thanks and your gratitude is sincere, any sincere person will appreciate it, no matter where it comes from. We're picking up some instructions, some lessons from the people on the street. So why shouldn't we accept some feedback, even if it's
critical feedback from a devotee, even if he's a junior, even if a person is not initiated. I'm listening to all sorts of stuff out there on the street. Again, it's all sorts of flag every day, you know? And I have to take it without, you know, making a grumpy face. But if I'm in a temple, no, only peer or senior. Well, then, you know, you're on your own. After a little while, you're on your own, man. And that's dangerous.
Feedback, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're not used to that. Because we think we're in our own little world, we're our own little head, you know? But you don't survive like that in Krishna consciousness. Not as a preacher, not as a book distributor. You have to learn to, you know, communicate with people. That means show appreciation and receive appreciation. Give constructive feedback, also critical feedback, because you have to improve your operations and also receive critical feedback. And not that thing of, you know, if I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. You know. Or that whatever I say, that's the way how it is. And I don't really care what you think, because you're just, you know, Joe Schmuck. You just came yesterday. Because then that person, if he's treated like that, he won't hang around that place or that person or that program. If you want people to feel encouraged and, you know, brought in and get them involved, you have to treat them like adults. You have to treat them like, you know, like sensible human beings at least. I'm not even talking devotees or Vaishnava behavior. I'm just talking sensible human being here. Because if I feel you're not giving me any attention or you're not giving me, you know, I'm not asking for the time of the day, but just basic human etiquette means like, I'm sorry, thank you, I apologize, this or that, you know, like that. Well, a lot of times we're doing the stuff on the spiritual side, but on, you know, just on the regular side, we're falling short. So we have to put that there. Other points? Yes. Yes. Have regular Sankirtan meetings in your temple. And invite everybody who participates in the activity. And you speak about some nectar, some katha, some realization, some strategy, some feedback, some planning. And
that would then get out anybody's fears.
Yeah.
Then it would encompass training. You know, that's
yeah. It's called communication. Like people talking to each other. I know it sounds scary, but, you know, that's what people usually do in the real world, you know? They talk to each other. Oh yeah, send me an email, you know? Straight into my, you know, spam basket. No, talking to real life people, you know? Feeling the human interaction. That's what Sankirtan is all about. Other questions?
How do you cope with all the battering? So you mentioned that you're out there and you maybe have a very difficult day and you come back and it's on your mind. You
know, what are you coping with?
All the negativity. Sometimes you have a very difficult day, distributing books, and you meet a lot of negative people and you feel negative. You can't help bringing that back with you to the temple. So what do you do then?
There's different ways how to deal with it. First of all, you try to avoid it that it gets to that point. Because I don't pick up on the negativity of the people. I'm super positive at whatever I do. I got zero expectation, whether on you nor on the people out there. I just roll with it, and I just try to do the best I can. But I don't expect anything. So you can't disappoint me. Because I'm not expecting anything. So there's no negativity created. And if the people are, you know, doing crazy stuff, then you just know that's just normal. That's just the way they are. You know. So you're not really terribly disturbed or frustrated or depressed about it. It's a normal thing for them to say no. we should be surprised if they say yes. So it's depending on your mentality and your attitude. But if you're just going out there to look for a few sincere people, and I know every day I'm going to meet 5 super spectacular people, I'm going to meet 20 nice people, and I'm going to meet another 100 people who also take a book. And then there's going to be a few, you know, who are just critical or envious or loudmouthed. And that's okay too. I'm going to deal with that too. So you got to have that attitude. And then you know these people are going to come forward. And you're not going to be disappointed. And I don't pick up on the negative energy of the person. And you shouldn't either. Because after all, there's too much bad energy out there. You don't want to deal with it. Either you can conquer it with superior power and potency, or you stay clear, you stay away from it. If the people are too negative, too envious, you just stay away from them. You don't deal with them. Go to the people who are neutral or who are mellow. Don't try to, you know, get the heavy nuts and crack them. It's too much endeavor. That's why I always say, if you can't deal with the streets, go door to door, put a book table, go to the chanting party. You'll experience much more positive energy. People already stopped, they're already looking at you, they're already appreciating like that. But if it still does happen and I, you know, get a little down and I become a little grumpy, it can happen, even to me, then there's different things you can do. You know, you chant a few rounds, that always helps. Read one of Prabhupada's books, take a bit of prasadam. Sleeping usually doesn't help because it just makes things worse, especially in the afternoon. So, and some days you just have to accept, you know, I struggled, I tried. It was an uphill battle, but I didn't quite make it. But still, I'm fairly content that I tried, even though I didn't succeed in the way I would like to. But tomorrow I'm going to try better. So always be satisfied with what Krishna has given you on a particular day. Don't think, oh, tomorrow it's going to be like this or it's going to be like that. Otherwise, if you're not satisfied with the 5 books you've done today, then tomorrow you're going to do 2 books. You know what I mean? Always be satisfied with what Krishna has given you and always try to improve and do better the next day. Don't pick up on negative energy. Otherwise it's a downhill spiral, you know. You start to get cynical, depressed, critical, all these different things. Then you lose the mercy. All of a sudden you feel like, you know, you're in the park feeding pigeons. And that doesn't work that well, does it? If you find yourself getting into that attitude, into that thinking pattern, they just have to look at the books you're carrying and remind yourself, what am I doing? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Who am I doing it for? Who do I try to please? Other questions? Now we are taking a 15-minute break, and can I ask you just to be back here at, let's say, 12 and a half minutes, at 20 past 12 for the second part of the meeting, so you got time to do whatever you need to do, and then we'll have some live demonstrations, some presentation, a bit of skit, a bit more action. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah. See which one we're going to show it.
You should do, just some
bad stuff you've done. Communications?
Getting experience.
No.
Maybe going out together.
The movies, I mean.
You should do this. You can get as many people as possible together.
It's all work on the movies.
Yeah,
I want to show the other ones.
Yeah, show me the...
And that's going to take a thing.
Which one for me
that's going to take
a no, just for the end, I want to figure out which one is the movie. Did we show this way?
You haven't shown them the last minute.
Or show me.
His program wasn't working.
Till the last minute, I just want to see one we didn't show you.
Try.
No, not that one. Skip. Prabhupada's quotes.
You've done that.
Developing the institution.
Developing the institution.
No, we've seen it. We've seen it. Chen.
There are a great teacher, big chat, and talk with
what? What's the translation of Bhagavad Gita?
Oh, you've done that.
Yeah.
We just did that yesterday for you.
Sincerity, that is good.
No, we haven't. Okay. What's the difference kind of thing? Waiting is the money we have.
Yeah, you can show 4 and 5 just at the beginning now. And then at the end, you can do. At the end, we do chant.
Thank you. Nice class. Nice.
Huh?
Thank you for the
message.
I just need to look for sponsors now for the DVDs.
Get the sponsor, how much they cost.
What's up? Shall I play?
Yeah, put the camera on.
How many pieces? Jesus Christ was crucified. So this is a material world. We find always such nonsense class of man.
It must cost you a lot of money to go traveling around the world all the time.
Yes. We have got our two branches all over the world.
Where do you get the money?
Get money from God. We especially get money by selling our books. You have seen our books?
If you can't jump.
We are selling, according to Indian exchange, we are selling about 25,000 to 30,000 rupees worth books daily.
That was cool, huh? Okay, so another one?
Yes.
Okay. What else you got? No, we already done most of them. There's one which I want to do at the end. You can show till last minute, the last one. Till everybody's here.
Who work in Japan and Japan, and if they engage in the basis of sense recognition, then they don't change their life. And then the karma
is that they overlook the ego.
Yeah. And according to the association of different nature, who gets a body, karanam dhunasam nasya, satasat jamunam. Therefore, we should always seek good association, devotee association. Then all life will be successful.
Yeah, I should have brought five.
Joy.
Okay, welcome back for the second part of the Book Distribution Seminar. In this part, we're going to discuss on how to present Bhagavad Gita on its own merit. Bhagavad Gita is our most important book. If you know how to distribute a Gita, you will know how to distribute any other book of Prabhupada as well, because it's all contained here. Now, don't be scared. Don't think this is, you know, mighty, massive, 800 pages, too big, too expensive. People want this. They're looking for this. And we want to get them the Bhagavad Gita. So, any presentation you do has got three parts. There is a beginning, a middle, and an end. Sounds very spectacular, I know. But a lot of devotees make 40% of their mistakes in the beginning and 40% at the end. In the presentation part, they do fairly okay, I have seen. But a beginning, which means stopping the person till they have the book, most of the things which can go wrong do go wrong. And at the end, the same thing. Explaining something about the book, you know, after a while you get that right. But still, after years and years, I see devotee on the street trying to stop people with a book in their hand, you know? Just like putting into their stomach, putting into their chest, putting into their head. And it just doesn't work. So there are simple ways and techniques how to stop a person. And we're talking here about street distribution. If you're on a book table, it's different. People come walking up to you. You just say, hello, how are you? Welcome. Or if you're going door to door, you just ring or knock at the door, and if they open up, you say, excuse me, do you live here? Oh, yes. Oh, very nice. So we're showing these today for all the nice people living here in the area. So, like that. Or now we're talking about street distribution. What's the first thing you do when you meet a person?
Eye contact.
Eye contact, exactly. Eye contact, that's the first thing. Don't be scared. Look them in the eye. And you let them know, I've seen you, and I know you have seen me, and I'm watching you.
Okay, you got that? All right, puts him on the spot, right? A little bit, not too much, you know? Just you give him the energy. You just let him know, I've seen you, and I know that you have seen me, so you can't avoid me, okay? Then you walk towards them. Then the next thing you do is you start speaking to them, and you hold out your hand as a sign, you know? Hi, how's it going? And you wave, or you just hold out your hand. And in your hand, you have radar, you know? Radar. And you can feel the energy of the person. You can do different signs if you like, you know. But you can just feel the energy. And Krishna gives you all the information you need to know about that person. And then, what's the next thing you do?
Say hello.
Say hello. And then?
Give the book.
Give the book.
No.
Ask their name.
Huh?
You
ask them a question. Because by asking them the question, you oblige them to stop. Otherwise, they just keep on walking. If you want them to stop, you have to engage them in a conversation. Conversation doesn't mean I'm talking, you're listening. Conversation means questions and answers. So you ask them, how are you doing today? How is it going? Are you from London or out of town? What's up? Like that. And they have to answer. And then according to how they answer, then you respond to that. Now the conclusion is, you put a book in their hand. Like for instance, say hi, how's it going?
Okay.
Are you from London or out of town?
I'm off from out of town.
Oh, where are you coming in from?
Ireland.
Oh, very nice, how's she cutting? Huh? Okay, welcome to London. We're showing these today for all the nice people. Are you always that friendly?
Just a bad day.
I came all the way from India just to meet you, and you're trying to avoid me? Huh? Is it because my mother is black or what? No, I don't say these things. Just, even if they say no, you say, what you mean no? I come here all the way from, you know, India or whatnot, just to meet you. And you just tell me no? Are you always that friendly with people? And then they say, no, I'm just having a bad day. And you ask them what's going on, why is it bad, and this and that. You know, you got to get into the groove. Don't be scared. Just be personable. The main thing about the introduction is the book has to be in their hand. I can scream that from the top of my lungs, but I'm watching everybody, and 80% of the devotees don't get it. They don't get this point. They stand there with the book in their hand, and they talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and then they're surprised that the person doesn't take the book. The book has to go in that person's hand. That's the introduction. Any questions to the introduction and how to stop people? Yes.
Why is it so difficult for devotees to understand that the book has to go in the hand?
Because you love the sound of your own voice more than anything else in the world. And you want to go on speaking and speaking and speaking, and it's so nice to hear the sound of your own voice. But the renunciation of speaking means to only say things which are meaningful, which are pertinent, which are important, and which are necessary. And everything else, you leave it aside. And sometimes all you need to say is, hi, how's it going? And boom, the book goes in their hand. And if they're a little more, you know, aloof, you have to say a little something to bring them closer, like that. But then don't start preaching. It's called book distribution. It's not called preaching the sermon on the street. You know, like in Stratford, the lady with the mic out there on her knees. It's a different group. It's a different program. It's not the Hare Krishnas. We're not out there, you know, confessing our sins and telling people about all the good and the bad in the world. We're just book distributors. It's like you're the mailman. One day you bring checks, one day you bring bills, invoices. You don't care. You're just delivering the mail. You're just friendly to everybody. You're in a positive mood. You're just doing your job. You're doing your duty. You deliver books. That's all we do here. It's called renunciation, detachment. It's hard, but we have to learn it. After you failed 100 times, a few 100 times, you learn it. You don't start talking about, you know, this, that, and the other thing. You get into the book. Any other questions? Yes?
Sometimes we say things like, don't worry, I'm not selling anything, or, you know,
doesn't work.
There's nothing dangerous. Like
it's negative. It's a negative connotation. We're not this, we're not that, we're not the other thing. Then, well, who the hell are you? Stand up for yourself. By being against somebody or something, that doesn't make you anything. Just like some movements, even so-called spiritual movements, define themselves by what they are against. But that doesn't give them any identity. They're just against a whole lot of things. But that's not a positive message. That's not something which gets me excited or gets me interested. I want to hear positive stuff. Oh, we're not trying to sell, and we're not trying to indoctrinate you, and we're not sectarian, and we're not this, and we're not that. Well, then who are you? It's like when you're editing a text, like you write something, you know, like you write a letter to your friend or to your guru. And before you send it off, hopefully you edit it. And all the fillers and all the meaningless stuff and phrases and all the, you know, you cut it out. You just get to the point. Not that he needs, you know, 10 secretaries who go through all the stuff, who dig out that question on page number 37. You know, and they highlight it with a red marker. Here, this is the sentence you have to read. Forget about the rest, you know. Go to the essence. People are moving, you know. They pay £4 for an hour of parking. They're on a clock. If they're not there working, they're losing money. So we have to be sensible. Yes.
The problem is that that's one of the first things on their mind. You're a salesman, you want money, you want my money.
No, because I tell them, sometimes I tell them, we don't sell this, people just give a donation. I might just mention it, you know, but I don't even look at them, I don't even wait for their reaction. I might just drop it in there. If I see that, it's kind of an issue. But usually I don't even bother. You can, if it works, fine. But I've seen too many excuses, too many apologies, too much of that. It doesn't do that much good. Other questions? Now you've got to be introspective. You've got to check yourself with the checklist. What's going wrong here? There's a checklist. We have a checklist in our book. Don't they stop? Don't they take the book in my hand? Don't they want to listen to me? Now, in the beginning, what can go wrong? Person may want to avoid you, right? Does it ever happen? Like you said, you know, they're trying to do the thing, you know? Yeah. Then you can do... Sometimes it's loud, too much stuff is happening, they're trying to do their jig. You know, then you also do the jig, you know? Then you go like that, you know? You make a move. Sometimes you want to give them the book, they don't want to take it. Then there's 3 things you can do. Either you can just start to stab them with the book, you know? Yeah? Which is kind of annoying. Or you can just, you put out the book, they're not taking it, you take it slowly back, then usually their hand comes out. Oh, okay, all right. So then all of a sudden the hand is ready, and then you give them a second chance. Sometimes you have to do a double take. You know what a double take is? You try to give them the book, the hand doesn't come out, then you go like this. It's something about having a second chance, you know? So the mind, the hand has a mind of its own. You know, the hand wants to grab things. Sometimes even though the head looks at you and says no, the hand will still grab it and take it. Because it's 2 different things, you know? Head and hand, different.
They take anyone to give it back because they don't realize what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. But then you tell them, no, no, it's okay, you know? Like if they're a little hesitant, you tell them, we don't sell these. People just give a donation like that. Or just have a look at it. Can you flip it around? Or ask them, have you seen this before? Do you know what this is? Or sometimes they ask, what is this? And then already you get into it like that. The more people have the book in their hands, the more they get attached to it. Because they see, they start to get absorbed in the book and they want to have it. That's why in the shops, you know, people just got to breeze and roam and pick up all the stuff and, you know, then they get attached to the goods and they want to buy it. So that's the beginning. That's anywhere from the first second to the first 12 or 15 seconds. Now, if people want to avoid you, you can see, you look at them and they just look away. Let them go. They don't want to deal with you. If they just change the side of the street, they want to avoid you, let them go. There's plenty of people out there. Don't waste your energy. There's 7 billion people on this planet. 20 million in the London area. Don't waste your energy. Don't waste your breath. If they don't want to stop, they don't want to take a book in their hand, have a nice day. Next one, please. Don't take people who are running at 70 miles an hour at you, talking on their phone, smoking a cigarette, or eating a sandwich. You can try, but, you know, after a while you see who is more receptive and who is less receptive. The main thing is work with your energy. Project your energy. Smile. Huh? Ask people questions. And the excuse me thing, it doesn't work for me. If it works for you, good luck. But I haven't seen devotees use the excuse me line, really, you know. Oh, you've dropped something. Oh, you've dropped your smile or this or that. If it works, fine. For me, you know, it doesn't cut it. But you try?
Yeah. It does happen in all sorts of different.
Yeah? So if it works, fine, if you feel comfortable. In America, I say, oh, you got nice shoes on, you know. Here, I've heard it doesn't work like that. You got to tell them about their dog or about something which is their car or something which is closer to home. You have to know what's the condition. Like I saw in Stratford, I was in Oxford Street. I had a man, Arab country. I wanted to shake hands with him, and I didn't just pick up that he did. So he just gave me his coat to shake, you know. Because he didn't feel comfortable to shake my hand. So you have to know what is the conditioning. Like amongst, you know, certain cultures, you don't shake hands, you do other things. So basically, universal is just greet them. Hi, how's it going? Welcome to London. And if they say, I'm out of town, you say, well, welcome to London. If they say, I'm from London, oh, very wonderful. Then you're qualified. Boom. The main thing is you qualify the prospect. You make them feel special. You make them feel, yes, I'm qualified. This is for me. Not we're showing these today for everybody. Oh, I'm not everybody. I'm somebody special. So you have to qualify them, that they're special. Everybody wants to be special, right? VIP, VVIP, business class, first class, all that. They want to be special. So you got to deal with them in a special way, in a unique way. So you can say, oh, this is for all the smart-dressed people. And then they say, wow, you think I look like that? Or for all the, you know, intelligent folks, or for all the good-looking people. You try it out, you know? Use your imagination. See what works. See how they respond. And then you put the book in their hand. And that's the first part. Can you do that? And then comes the presentation. Now, you can say that either presenting yourself and the book is part of the introduction or it's part of the presentation, however it might be. The first success is already the person stopped, the person has the book in their hand, and they're listening. And now you better say something. You can't just... He stopped. He took the book in their hand. My God. And they're like, now what? You had a question?
Before we move, some people, when we offer them book, they don't take it. Then what do we say? They just, no, I don't want it.
That's because you want to stop them with the book. I never stop people with the book. I stop them with the hand.
They have stopped. We have asked a question. They have got into conversation. And we offer the book.
No, you don't offer. You don't offer. You just put it in their hand. It's not that I'm offering you or that I'm, you know, asking whether you want to take this. I just put it in your hand, you know. It's just like normal. boom, you put it in their hand. It's not that you make it optional. You just put it in their hand. But if you're hesitant, if you're shy, if you want to be a nice guy, you know, and you're like, maybe, perhaps, can I? Would you fancy to have a look?
Yes,
you know? It doesn't work. You might be a nice guy, but it doesn't work. So you have to find the balance. Okay, then comes, you know, the three things people want to know. Who are you? What's this book? What's in it for me? Number one, who are you? Well, you are whoever you are. I'm an IT professional. I'm a monk. I'm a housewife. I'm a student. I'm a yoga teacher. I'm a professor. I'm an IT crack. I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm the other thing. You are whoever you are. Just tell them, I'm this. And today, we're showing this, these special books for all the special people. Are you one of the special people? Are you one of the smart people? No, but you're special. Okay, that's good. So you're qualified. There you go. So, put the book in their hand. And then while you put the book in their hand, you don't start talking about, you know, God and the world and how Jesus saved, you know. No. What you do is you say, this book, or you say, books about yoga and meditation teaches you how to get free from stress. Here. Book on yoga meditation teaches you how to get free from stress. Have you heard of stress before? You do? Really? No. Yeah, no, you look very peaceful. I can see it in your eyes. What's your secret? Why are you so peaceful?
I'm rich.
You're rich? Well, that's nice. Is that your middle or your first name also? Is that your first or your last name? Middle name is stress, right?
Yeah.
What's your last name? Okay, that's nice. So, you say something which forces them to respond. How many times have you just talked for 10 minutes flat without letting them a chance to even open their mouths? Have you ever experienced that? You just bombarded them. You just grilled them for 10 minutes. And they were so happy to get out of it. They were so happy to give that book back and to walk away. I mean, you could see their relief on their face. Go easy. They can't take that much. You just ask them a question and you wait their response. Now, everybody has heard of yoga, meditation, and stress and how to lead a stress-free life. Now, if you tie it in with something funny, like, yes?
As soon as you mentioned yoga, meditation, people say, I've got 100 of these books.
Wonderful. That's why you're so peaceful. So then you praise them, you know? Say, what's your secret? You ask them, instead of preaching to them, I ask them, what's your secret? You tell me, why are you so happy and peaceful? And then usually, they become a little sober. They become a little, you know, they become a little humble. Because you just let the air out, you know? Basically speaking, that's what you just did. But otherwise, it's like, have you seen this? Do you know this? Oh, yeah, of course, I'm knowing, I'm having, you know, like that. And it doesn't work. It doesn't commute. But if they say, I already have this book, you say, wonderful. That's great. Fantastic.
They don't expect that.
Huh?
They don't expect,
that. Yeah. And it completely takes them off guard. And ask them, so you also know Sanskrit, right? Not in a challenging mood, just like a normal thing, a natural thing. And then they actually know. So you show to them that there's a little something they can still learn. Something, there's still a little room for improvement, you know? But you have to do it in a subtle way. So they don't feel embarrassed. So we're still at the stress factor. And he said something cute, I said something cute, and we both like each other. And that's important. You've got something to work with here. You've got a winner here. You know? Already one sentence into the game, I know he's going to take a book. Why? Because of the way how he responded to me. I can tell you in the first 20 seconds whether a person takes a book or not. And you will know that too after a couple of months. You will know it. You can still try and turn it and move it and do whatever you want to do, but you will know. And you will still go through with it because you're merciful and you want to give them the chance, but you just know. So then, a lot of times when I ask them, so, have you ever stressed before? And they say, oh yeah, sure, yes, of course. You can all move a little bit front, so give the lady some space. And then they say, well, I do gardening, or I walk my dog, or I'm a very peaceful person. And I say, yes, exactly, that's your secret. Very nice. So then I turn the book around to the back. They still have it in their hand. And I show them Thoreau, Emerson, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., and Einstein. They read this book, and they like this book a lot. Now, name dropping is good as long as it's used appropriately and sparsely, not too much, you know? You can ask them, have you heard of Gandhi? And he's like, what do you think, I'm an idiot? Well, you can just mention it, and then they maybe pick up on one or the other. They say, oh, Thoreau, Emerson, one of my favorite authors, you know, I really like that. And then you just connect it to that. Or if they mention Gandhi, then you say a little something about Gandhi, what he did, and, you know, he read every day, he read in his book, and, you know, most of his values and his life is based on this work. You just wait to see that the coin drops. But then you have to react on that. You can't just have your, like a machine, your program, and you just roll with the program. You have to be ready to improvise, to go according to the person's need and perception. So then, basically, the front, the back. Then the next thing, what I usually do is I say, now, even to the people who say I already have this, you tell them, no, in the English language, there's over 300 editions of this book. But the special thing about this book is that it's been translated and commented upon by a person who is not only very knowledgeable, but he's a follower of this tradition. And that's why, usually I show them first inside the Sanskrit, this translation word for word, translation of purport. And then I tell them, there's 300 editions of this in English alone. Now this edition is being used as a textbook in universities across the world to study Sanskrit, Hinduism, Indology, Eastern philosophy. And everybody has heard textbook, right? That's good, you know? You mentioned textbook. That makes something very clear. Number one, it's very authoritative. It's very serious. It's important. And it's pricey because, you know what textbook costs, right? It's not just something you pick up, you know, at the pub, but it's something really. And then I show them, like UCLA, everybody has heard of Georgetown University, Berkeley, like that. You just mention a few of them. And if you have students or people who read books or, you know, a little bit more brainy crowd, they go for this. They really like this. They immediately know this is serious, you know. This is not just something. Yes?
Do you take the book and you show them the book, or do you like, say, I'll turn to the third page? Or...
No. I usually take the book and show them. But then I put it back into their hands. Now, depending on how interested the person is, you may condense the middle part or you may stretch it. All depending. You know what I mean? It's not that introduction has to take 20 seconds, middle part has to take 2 minutes, and the end has to take 20 seconds. It could be all interchanged. This is just to give you an idea of what the elements are. Sometimes you walk up to somebody and say, hi, how is it going? Can you give a donation? And then you give them the book afterwards. You know, it can happen that it goes so fast, the person is so positive that he just participates. But mostly it's done, 99% it's done in a certain structured way. So, but the time factor, that is, you know, that can expand or condense depending on who the person is. Now, if they want out, they're not interested, they don't even look at you, they look the other way, they've given the book back to you, you just ask them, do you want this? Are you interested in this? You qualify them. by asking questions. Now, there's open-ended questions and closed-ended questions. You know the difference, right? Like a closed-ended question is, do you believe in God? No. Do you want to buy this book? No. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day. I only ask closed-minded, closed-ended questions when I want to move a person on. When I know this person will not take, and I want to move them on, then I ask closed-ended questions. But I've seen a lot of devotees use closed-ended questions, and they're surprised that people tell no. Because if they tell no three times, then it's over. It's game over. If they say three times yes in a row, usually they take the book. So you can use closed-ended questions if you know how to word them or how to present it so that they will say yes, 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 and then they take the book. But it's much more productive usually to just ask open-ended question. Like open-ended question would be, you know, how's it going today? What do you do for a living? Are you a student or a worker? Like that. Give different options. And then they can say a little something. And then you don't just carry on. Then you actually ask them one or two things. Oh, you're a student. So what's your major? They say major here? What do they say here? What's your subject? Or what do they...
What
do you study? In the States they say, what's your major? So here, what do you study? How many years for finishing? Do you like it? Are you good at it? Just two, three little things. It takes you 2 seconds. And he feels you actually, not that you just shoot off your 5 questions, you know. Hello, welcome, and goodbye. Hello, welcome, and goodbye. What's your job? How much you make? Where do you live? It's not, you know, the matrimonials in the times of India, you know. Yeah, you're laughing. Well, you can't communicate with people like that. You can't distribute books like that. You've got to be personable. You've got to actually deal with the person. And that means you have to listen to them. You have to be there for them. That's sankirtan. So then they say, oh, I'm a worker. Oh, what do you work? Okay, construction. You the boss or you just one of the slaves? You enjoy your job? Say something funny, you know? They like it. Huh? They say, I'm studying business. So you're going to be a boss or you're going to be a slave? You're just going to sit in an office or are you going to make it happen? Like that. Ask them. Get into it. Do you like your job? Then you find out what their mood, their mindset is. And then you connect the book to them. That's the next thing. So then usually, any questions you have, anytime, just raise your hand. Okay? Then, usually, I show them the pictures. Now, this is the long version of the presentation. My version is pretty short, and you will see it later on. But usually, when I show them the pictures, I show them first here. Reincarnation. So you know the soul is different from the body? We're all just passing through, right? And mostly they say, oh yeah. And then I ask them, so where are you on this? And they say, oh, I'm about here. And I say, oh, I'm an old guy. I'm already going down, you know. I'm on that side here. So like that. You don't ask them, do you believe in reincarnation? Because it's just, you know, what does it matter to you? You can't get that close in 2 seconds. Then I usually show him next picture, the yogi here. So he said, I asked him, so what's your job? What do you do for a living? He says, I'm a plumber. I said, you know, that's funny. He was a plumber too. You know? And they always, and sometimes they say, really? Yeah? just joking. Yeah. But you know, there's also the nice yogi here. You know? So, there's different types of yoga. Yoga is not just about stretching your body, it's actually stretching your mind, expanding your mind, you know, connecting with the sublime, with the spiritual. So, you can bring things in like that, tie things in like that. Then in this book, you don't have the pig. Yeah, there's one, but the one in the American edition of the Gita, you have the cow head and the axe. Yeah, you say, you heard of bad karma, good karma? What does it mean to you? And then you let them say a little something. They say, well, what comes around goes around. You say, wow, I've never heard that before. You know? Or you just say, oh, that's an interesting way of putting it. You just ask them a little something. Do you believe in it? And you'd be surprised. Christians, Muslims, Jews, Hindus, non-believers, atheists. 95% of the people say, yes, I believe in karma. Because it's just accepted. You tell them. As soon as they say yes, yoga or reincarnation or karma, then this book is all about yoga. It's all about meditation. It's all about karma. It's all about reincarnation. But you have to connect it. You have to explain it in proportion. You have to tell him, look here, all the different yoga systems are explained. Yoga of the body, of the mind, of the senses, of the soul, spiritual yoga. You know, there's different levels. It's not just about exercise. Don't tell him, oh yeah, here's all the asanas, here for you, you know. Put it in perspective. But wait till you see that spark of interest and then you connect it. And even if there is no spark of interest, everything's said and done. So I ask him, so you more into philosophy or more into psychology? Just like that, out of the blue. It's not that conversation always has to be, you know, linear and very logical. Like when you deal with people. Talk and topics bounce around all over the place and it's totally irrational. It's usually completely emotional, right? I mean, when you're friends, you just, you know, you just say whatever comes to your mind, right? So, same way when you present the books. It's not that you have to go from A to B to C to D. It's just, you know, ask them and see what they respond. And you'll be surprised. Most of the people, they'll say, oh yeah, this or that or the other thing. Sometimes nothing registers and it's just blank, you know. You just have that blank look, this blank stare. So then ask them, what gets you motivated? Come on, what gets you excited? Football? Race cars? I mean, what are you into? Then they gotta say a little something. Because everybody is into something. And if they say nothing, and they say, man, come on, work with me, people. You know? I'm trying hard here. Give me a break. I need a little audience participation here. Like that. So, connect the book to the person, to his life, to his interest, to his job, to whatever he mentioned. He picks up on something. Everybody picks up on something. Through these 2.5 minutes of presentation, everybody picks up on something. And even if they don't, I have set my bit and made my presentation. And now comes the closure, the finishing part. Any questions on the interaction? Yes?
How will you do this to the two people? But let's say a couple is going, and how you would do, would you do the same to the group of people? You would focus on one person in a group, or to all of them you would show them?
There is hundreds of different scenarios, so I'm just giving you the archetypes of the typical scenarios, the typical type of exchanges you have. You have a couple, husband and wife. First thing you got to figure out, who is the boss, who's in charge? You got to figure out who's got the pants on. Now, mostly, the guy thinks he's in charge. And if you deal with his woman, he's going to be upset. So what you do is, you give her the book, you speak to the man, but you're actually talking to her. But if you give her the attention, he will feel uncomfortable. And she might also. So that's what you do. Give her the book, talk to him, but actually talking to her. And you also combine her, you involve her in the conversation. Sometimes it's the other way around. The guy's just the guy, and you know, he, whatever he says, that's the law, and that's how it works. Then you just got to keep her, you know, happy, so she doesn't, you know, try to sabotage the whole thing and freak out. But if he wants it, he'll take it. So you have to feel what's the chemistry, how the energy is flowing. And you figure that out in about 3.5 seconds or in a split second. Take some experience. If you have a group of people, there is always the leader, there is always the joker, there is always the negative guy, and there is always the interested guy. So there's different strategies you can take. If you just want to sell one book, you just got to find out that one interested person, deal with him, give him the books, and forget about the others. Just keep them separate. Sometimes they will even move on, and just the interested person will stay with you. But if you want to involve everybody, then you have to know how to deal with all the factors which are coming at you.
So you would recommend for the beginners to start to distribute to one person, two persons?
Of course. You don't jump in there and you have 20 people with the guide, you know, the guy with the flag. And you're like, excuse me, people, I have an important announcement to make here, you know. The house is on fire. You need to take these literatures to save your life. You know? No. You deal with one person at a time. If you get comfortable with that, you deal with pairs. Then you deal with small groups, you know, three people, four people, five people. It's a different chemistry. It's a different energy. You have to be very sensitive. You have to feel what's going on here. Are they stressed? Do they want to move? Are they comfortable? If it's small groups, three or five people, what I usually do is I greet them, I put a book in everybody's hand, and I ask them, so who's the leader here? Who's the boss? Or who's the smart guy? And everybody points to one guy. And then usually, he smiles. That means he's accepted the responsibility. So whatever he does, everybody else will follow. Yad yada charity shishtas. If he pulls out $5, everybody's going to pull out $5. Because that's the rule. That's how it works here. We follow the leader. If they're independently minded and they're just all, you know, on their own thing, which happens usually when people are a little older and a bit more mature, but that's not everybody, but, you know, usually, then you just have to see. There's always the funny guy, he wants to make a joke, and you just have to tolerate him. You just give him some attention, and you recognize him as a very funny, you know, very intelligent person, and then he's happy with that. If you try to ignore him, he will cause havoc. He'll try to break up your sale. The negative person who just wants to say, oh, yeah, I already had one of these, or, you know, they already took money from me, or this or that. You know, you have to watch about that guy. There's different things you can do. Either you can shut him out, different ways you can do that. Or you can tell something funny, like, you know, actually he's working for me, you know. He's just trying to make some, you know, propaganda here. I pay him, you know. Something, whatever. Or ask them, is he always so friendly? Is he always so, you know, in such a good mood? Just kind of alienate him a little bit, you know. And then everybody would say, yeah, yeah, forget about him, you know. He's a jerk. Don't worry about him, you know. Just let him do his thing, you know? Like that. That happens in families also sometimes. So you just have to focus on the nice person or on the leader. And then you just go ahead and do your thing. Don't expect everybody to chip in. Don't expect everybody to say yes and to sign off on your book distribution. Be ready to just let one book go out and let them move on. You know? Don't go for the big fish. You have to be happy to do what you can do. And then Krishna will give you more, and like that you can increase your capacity, your potential. Then you start to know how to present to groups, how to involve everybody, how to oblige them, and how it works. But it might work, it might not work. You have to see what the situation is. Other questions?
What do you do when you know if somebody's favorable and then you get somebody comes and sabotages, you know, it's like, you know, you're having a nice conversation, you know, and then somebody comes over and goes, hi honey, and it's like, who's this guy? and they're like, no, he's not.
Well,
like
it depends
that.
Who
drags her husband away. And
well,
like,
yeah, it depends who that other person is. If that other person is the husband or the wife, then you have to deal with them, you know? If it's just an outsider who just wants to sabotage your work, you can just shut him down, you know, in a flash. But if it's somebody close to that person, then you have to deal with that person. There's different ways of dealing with them. Usually I ask them, do you think he's old enough to look at this, you know? Is he allowed to choose for himself? Just like that. And if they say no, and the other person accepts, then don't waste your time. Fair enough. Have a great day. I didn't know, you know, these types of relationships still exist, but obviously, apparently, it does. But, you know, don't waste your breath. So you have to figure out what's the how does it work. Sometimes you have to give him a little encouragement and then he'll just go ahead with it and take it. That person just wants to make sure he's really convinced. So you ask that person, do you really want this? And if they say yes, then the other person obviously doesn't have a game. Any other points? Any other questions? All right, we're coming to the closure here. The bottom line. Show me the money. Huh? There's a lot of devotees, you know, they just drag on with it and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and think it's going to get any better, but it's only going to get worse. Because if you're not ready to mention money, people will at one point start to feel uncomfortable. So what's the story, you know? You want to give this to me or you want to sell this or what's going on? Well, you got to tell what you want before it gets to that point. So a good point is already initially you should tell we're not selling these, people are just giving a donation. Or I usually throw that in the beginning, or pretty much in the beginning, or during the presentation. So then at the end I tell them, now, this book, if you go to a bookstore, how much do you think this would be worth?
20 pounds.
Yeah, just about. But today is your lucky day. We're not selling these. People just chip in a donation to help us cover the printing. Can you do that? Well, how much you got?
I don't know. I have to check.
So check. Just get from your heart. Thank you, you know? He just gave me 4 pounds. Because he said 20, which is about correct. I mean, I went to a bookstore and I saw any nitsy bitsy paperback book, you know, 10 pounds, 12 pounds, 15 pounds. Paperback, no pictures, no nothing. A book like this, 20 to 30 pounds. Easy. So if they say, oh, 1 pound, then ask him, well, where do you go shopping? But usually they average about right, you know, they say about right. So I say, we don't sell these, people just give a donation. And one day they ask, well, how much? Then I say, well, you know, just do the best you can. Try to keep it under 100. And usually I show them some bills so they get the idea. I usually tell them students give 10, workers give 20. If you see it's a young kid and he obviously doesn't have that much money, I just tell them, look, they cost us 5 to print. Most people give a little bit more, you know. We're monks, we've taken vows of poverty. So they understand it's not a business. It's not, you know, it's not a sale. These books are priceless. Now, why do you take money? 2 reasons. Number one reason is, if you give something in exchange for spiritual knowledge, you will get 1,000 times the benefit for the knowledge you receive. And number two, it helps us to print more of these books and distribute it to other people. So can you also help out? You know? I'm trying to help you here. Can you help me out too? Because you got a friendship thing going on. You got some friendly vibes. So they all say, okay, sure, I'm going to help you. Of course. And people will feel bad giving you less than 5 pounds for a book like that. Most will just give you 10 or 20. Yes.
Prabhu, how did you do, like, in America? Probably they say, I don't have money, but I have credit card. How do you deal with that?
There's 2 ways to do it. There's ATMs all over the place. You just walk to the ATM, which is like 5 feet from where you distribute, because you're always close to the ATM. And you just walk into there, and they get the money out, and they give you 10 pounds. Okay. Or you have one of these machines. You can have these mobile phones, which is a card swiper. It's not costly. They cost maybe 40 or 70 pounds. And then, you know, they can just put their debit or credit card through that swiper, punch in the number, and there you go. Bob's your uncle. You're in business. And everybody has change. Everybody. Everybody has change. Any other questions regarding the money part? Now, whatever is in your mind, whatever you are projecting, consciousness creates reality. If you learn nothing from this seminar but this, consciousness creates reality. Whatever you have in your mind is what you project on other people. If you think this person is negative, or if you think this person has got no money, all of a sudden they're like, huh, you know what? I don't have any money. You know why? Because you thought so. He forgot his wallet in his office. Why? You met that person because you were thinking he doesn't have any money. Try it out. Has your mind ever tricked you and told you this person has no money? And all of a sudden they have no money, right? But even if the person says I have no money, but you believe that they do, all of a sudden they find some money somewhere, right? Or they find a friend, or they go and get it from the store, back, borrow, steal. If you want it, you get it. So your consciousness creates reality. With your consciousness on Sankirtan, you're able to influence reality. You're able to make this person's life sublime by giving him one of Prabhupada's books. That's something very powerful. That's something very special, very unique. You're able to create destiny. You're able to play God in a little way as a humble servant of God by connecting this person to Krishna's mercy. So it's not just that we go out there and, you know, one person in 500 will take this. Okay, you want this? No. You want this? No. You want this? No. Okay, 278 more. Oh, it's going to take me 28 more minutes. You want this? No. You want this? No. You want this? No. My mood is every person should take a book. And then if one or two out of three say no, I'm not disappointed. It's about your attitude. What are you projecting? So you can see how consciousness actually influences people on the street whom you meet. That's why it's so important how we chant, how we read, how we eat, how we sleep, how we have our relationship with our friends and family and all our people. Because it influences the way how we preach. That potency will come across. People will actually believe you. When you say, I'm a monk, they will not say, oh, really? Can you prove it? And you have to show, you know, all the things. You know, I'm a Brahmin, you know, or this or that. No. People would just, they feel it. They get the energy. They get the message. Krishna in his heart tells him, he's cool. He's one of the good guys. That's all it takes. If Krishna says in the heart of that person, this person is a good guy, listen to him. Listen to her. Yes, she's a good girl. Give her some money. They have to give. They have to surrender. Because your desire is stronger than that person's desire for sense gratification. Now, these people's desire for sense gratification is pretty big. You know, they have a lot of plans and a lot of issues and a lot of things they want. So how much do we want to give them Krishna? That's the question. Or do we think, oh, I'm just clocking in, clocking out. I'm just on my 9-to-5 shift here, you know, wiping tables at Starbucks. Minimum wage. Dead-end job, no upward mobility. We're not just doing time here. This is not just killing time. This is being part of the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is as good as it gets. This should be, you know, full blast ecstasy. Yeah. And if you don't feel it, that means something's wrong with you. Because the sun is shining, the birds are chirping. And even though it's a smelly smell, because, you know, it's Soho, what do you expect? But here is the book. Thanks for being out here. Thanks for taking your time to look at this. I think you'd really benefit from this. You'd really appreciate this. And the guy goes, really? You really think so? Yeah, definitely. Okay, if you say so. I had a guy in Bali. He was a bus driver from Spain. They're very superstitious people. He didn't speak English. He wasn't interested. I said, you know what? You keep this book for good luck. You put it in front of your bus when you're driving. It will protect you. He said, you really believe so? I said, man, I'm a monk for 25 years. Yes, I really believe so. This book will help you. He said, okay, I'll take it just because you believe in it. If you actually believe in it, people will respect that. Otherwise, you have a lot of people who just give you money, but they don't want to take the book. And you ask them, it would really make me happy if you would take one of these. Oh, okay, if it makes you happy, sure. I want you to be happy, right? It's that simple. But if you don't care, if you just, okay, money, 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 then You don't have that kind of an exchange. We don't just collect money. If you want to make money, you can work a different type of venture. We want to give people Krishna. We want to give them a book of Prabhupada. Give them prasadam, give them an invitation card. So any more questions about the money part? Don't let this become a ghost which haunts you. Don't put it off for later, later, later. You have to mention it pretty early in the game, and you have to know how to draw it to a close. Even if the talks could continue, then you just say, okay, everybody chips in a donation. Can you also help out? Out of the blue, you know, just cut it. Boop. You know? Like when you see an ad or a movie. Of course, yes, I'm coming to you. We don't see ads or movies, but, you know, all of a sudden there is a cut, and just something else comes. Different scene altogether. Cut. If you see that your chain of thought, your conversation, is not going the way you want it to go, cut. Take it from a different angle, from a different perspective. Like that. Don't stay in the box. Don't think in stereotypes. It's not always A, B, C, D. Yes?
Like, the major problem is about the money problem to ask. It comes from mind. So what is this thing in your mind?
There's different things. Number one is, there's two reasons why devotees stop book distribution. Number one reason, and it's related to the money part, fear of rejection. You're afraid that people say no. Because you think when they say no to me. And I don't want to be rejected. Because it feels bad, you know? If you feel rejected 500 times a day, it's bad, right? Makes you feel bad. But they don't know who you are. They couldn't be personal even if they tried. Because they don't know you're the soul, you're not the body. So, if people say no, they're not saying to you, the individual, the soul. They may say no out of so many different reasons. So don't be afraid of rejection. We should be surprised if people say yes. So that fear of rejection makes us draw out the conversation longer and longer and longer and putting off, you know? It's called dropping the question. But you shouldn't, because otherwise it only goes down, 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 down. So you just have to deal with it in a very nonchalant and very straight-up way. Then other reason is that you are not really that convinced and that sure whether this is the best thing for that person. Maybe he's poor, maybe he doesn't have a job, maybe he would need his £5 for food or for something else. I'm not sure. I mean, maybe. I don't want to take this anymore. So that's another possibility, that you're not really that convinced that this person really needs this book now and really needs to take this and give something. So it's called false compassion. We have compassion, but in a wrong way, on wrong grounds, wrong mentality. Now, obviously, if the person is there and he doesn't have any money and he's got £1 and he needs to take the bus, you're not going to, you know, try to... I mean, have some dignity, right? Even if they have a few coins there, I say, look, you know, I'm not going to take your last few coins. But then they feel you're detached, and all of a sudden they find something somewhere, you know? There's always options. But you've got to be detached. As long as you're attached, it's not going to happen. When you're detached, all of a sudden it comes. Other questions? Yes?
I don't know, maybe you're wrong, but as I noticed that there are sometimes if you want to make a big profit, you distribute less books.
Why should you want to make a big profit?
So my question is it, can it be a reason to earn more money, or more reasonable is to be more...
If you're brahmacharya, brahmacharini, you should just distribute the mercy and you shouldn't be worried or concerned about profit or loss. Prabhupada wanted us to give out these books for a decent price, which means double BBT. So like, for instance, a Gita costs you what?
312.
So that means, what's the double?
624.
So 624, 650. That means some people give you 5, some people give you 7, some people give you 10. Don't be uptight. Just let it move. But if you want, you can find those 5 people who will give you £20.
but you will lose the other 20 people who wanted to give you 5 or 10. So what do you prefer? I would prefer to give everybody the book, and according to their means, you know. So why should you want to make a big profit? Nobody has that push for money. And if you're a householder, then, you know, you just gotta, you know, you have a job, so you're not dependent on that income. But if you're depending on the income from Sankirtan, then you have to know, okay, if I sell 5 Gitas at 20 pounds, how much profit does that make? Who is fast here?
So
5 Gitas for 20 pounds each, how much profit is there?
84
pounds, yes.
Yeah.
But if you do 30 Gitas for an average of 7 pounds, how much profit is that?
180.
You sure?
No, 120 each.
Huh?
One profit is about 120.
120. So what do you prefer? You prefer 120 or 80? It's obvious, right? But we don't make that calculation. So you can't be like that. It doesn't work on the long run. Because you have a lot of people, 95% of the people, who just want to give whatever they feel motivated, whatever they feel inspired to give. And you just got to give them the book. And if that money consciousness comes in, usually it ruins your day. So whether it's your mind, or your authority, or your economic problem, or your situation, you can't let yourself be jeopardized by that. It's like if you want to embark on a venture and all of a sudden your mind just pushes you and wants you to rush through things and race to the end, to the bottom line. Like sometimes people say, hello here, nice book donation. Hello here, nice book donation. Hello here, nice book donation. And it doesn't work because there's no connection. It doesn't commute with the person. So you have to give it the time and the detachment. So money is an issue, but you have to learn how to deal with it. If you're detached, people will also be more giving, more charitable. Any other questions? Yes?
Just say how I do it. Like I push it to the end, the money part, not out of fear that they will not reject, but because I want them to be convinced that this book is good. And I just make a passing comment. We don't sell it, we just distribute it. And if you feel like you can give some donation, otherwise it's okay. And I'm ready to, if they don't give anything.
That's okay, we have a small book, but if they have a Gita in their hand, that shouldn't be your attitude, you know. If you have small books, that's okay.
Yeah, I do small books.
Yeah, so some people give, some don't give. It's a different ball game than a Gita.
Yeah.
Anything, just anything, you know. And they say, anything? Yes, anything. And then they go into their, you know, and they just give you 2 or 3 pounds, you know. Because it's anything, right? But if you say specifically, £1.25, that's the price. People will feel like you're uptight, you know? It doesn't work like that. So some small books you may give out for free. Like sometimes you make a presentation and you don't mention the money part, or you don't mention it properly, and the person feels it's for free, then you just let them have it and let them walk away with it, and they're happy, they're peaceful. Oh, give me that back, you know? Oh. It was your fault. You messed up, not him. Why should he pay for your stupidity? Let it fly. Learn it. Take note. Next person. And somebody comes, give you 20 for one book, you know? That will cover for the 10 or 20 free books which you just passed out in that day. Krishna is no poor man. He owns everything. This whole scarcity mentality is scary. You know, it's really scary when you see people who are like, oh, I gotta not spend money on my food, on my clothes, on myself. And they really, you know, go into poverty or into poverty consciousness. It's scary. Why? Because it's not attractive. People cannot relate to this. They're not. It's not like in India or in other cultures where when you see a sadhu, you see somebody who lives austere, renounced life. People feel appreciative of this. They feel good about this. You know, they can appreciate this. If you see this here, somebody who is dressed very poorly, or you know, they think like something is wrong with this person.
So we have to come across in a way that people can accept and appreciate our personality, our dress, our presentation. It said you should dress to please others and you should eat to please yourself. So you don't dress for yourself, even though you think that your style looks, you know, very renounced and very cool. Like, I've seen things, you know, dhotis or saris or whatever, you know, weird. You just look and you think, if a new person sees the devotees for the first time, you know, like these hats sometimes people are wearing. If anybody ever wants to make a book about fashion, all the different color hats people wear in India, you know, like this fluorescent green or fluorescent orange hat. You ever seen? Really far out stuff, right? Now that might be cool in India, but if you walk around like that here, people think, whoa!
Someone said that to me yesterday. They said, we don't see you Hare Krishnas around much with your funny little hats.
Yeah. Thanks for the compliment, right? Oh boy. Any other questions?
You know, if someone gives you a few coins, do you take that as, alright, that's reciprocation, or do you play it how you said that, like, in terms of being detached, I don't want to take your last few coins, alright?
No, you always take.
Yeah,
of course. We don't refuse. Even somebody wants to give 1 cent, you graciously accept it. Thank you very much for your mighty contribution. Show some humor, man. Have some fun. They want to see your reaction. It's not about the 1 cent. They want to see your reaction, whether they can tease you, whether they can put you down. But if they see that you're coming out strong, they get a good appreciation. It's all how you take it. It's not so much what you say, what they say. It's about the energy that flows. It's about the exchange. That's what's happening here. Yes. They feel obliged to actually come to the temple because they feel indebted. I had this Polish couple, they only had 3 euros. I gave them the big Bhagavad Gita. They felt so happy. And half an hour later, she came back and she brought me £5. So she had to come all the way back. You know? Like some devotees, they didn't pay for their books, but they had to pay for their lives. You know? Krishna said, okay, you don't want to pay for this? You sure? Are you sure? Okay, come on. All of a sudden, you're here, and you're like, Hare Krishna, you know, what happened? I don't want to embarrass anybody. But some are thinking, oh, free food, free this, free that, you know, let's party. And all of a sudden, hey, what happened? You know? What happened? Huh? It has happened to many. And we're still paying to this day. So never mind, you know, be a little kind, be a little merciful. It will come back in a big way. Any other questions? All right, now then, once they have given the money, what do you do? You just turn your back and drop them like a hot potato? Next one, please. Next one in line. Or do you say... Now, you still got the top thing in front. Just as a little.
The subject is too dark.
So, then, what do you do? You got the donation. Either you just walk away from it, or you can say different things. You can say, well, thank you very much. Now, do you believe in the power of prayer? Most of the people will say yes. Say, can you please repeat after me? You give him the invitation card, you say, here are these three addresses of our temple and our vegetarian restaurant, you flip it around, you say, and do you believe in the power of prayer? Can you repeat after me? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Excellent. You're a natural. Looks like you've done this before. The first lady we had in Stratford. Did you see? Did anybody see? The first lady, I gave a book. I gave the Gita. I was chanting the mantra to her right when we were setting up the booth. Makes such a world of a difference, you know? It really rounds it up nice. And if the person is interested, then tell them, look, we got programs going on here regularly. Would you like to be invited, but can I invite you? Can I have your email? It's not a big problem. They write down your email, you know, or their mobile number, their name. Then you invite them. Maybe you put your name on the invitation card, like that. It becomes personal, you know? Even if they didn't have any money or not much money, you tell them, I'm going to be back here in a week. I'm not going to be checking on you whether you read the book, you know? Like that. You say little things. Please read it, you know?